We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
We are in the middle of a series called Counting Your Blessings. Counting Your Blessings. We've talked about there's power, not just in counting, but in confessing your blessings. God wants you to declare things that he has declared over your life. He wants you to believe them for your life. You hear me? And so how many know sometimes when you just don't feel like it, you've got to talk yourself into it? Anybody ever been there in life? You just didn't feel like getting out of bed this morning, but you talked yourself into it. Or your better half kicked you out of the bed. One way or the other, you had a little bit of help, right? But the fact is, we have to get to a place where we believe what God said for our lives, not just for other people's lives. Did you get that? God's promises aren't just for me, they're for you. They're not just for that church, they're for the church, right? And so we are learning, we are sharpening our skills at counting our blessings, because I believe counting your blessings is a secret weapon that will help you shift things in your world and your life. If you're having a horrible day, you have the ability to make a shift on your day just by your words, because our words are powerful. If you want your day to be better, then don't just continue to say, this is the worst, most horrible day ever. I feel like Alexander, right? We have to, there's a movie, okay? Okay, but listen, we have to understand that we have the ability to confess God's word over our lives and see things change. Why? Some people say, well, nothing changed. Well, if your perception did, then a lot did. Hello. Today we continue our counting our blessings. And again, this series is designed to make you, what I've been saying, content rich, loaded with perspective to keep you, your heart and your spirit in a position of gratitude. So as we begin this third part today, I know some of you love when I give a little bit of a history lesson of where we're going, because context is a big deal. But we're going to be in Acts chapter 16. This is one of my absolute favorite stories in the Bible. But in this, seeing how we're not starting at the beginning, let me just catch you up. The Apostle Paul, we're journeying with him. And the beginning of Acts chapter 16, he takes Timothy, who ends up having some letters written to him that are now books in the Bible. He takes Timothy as an assistant, right? And he wants to go begin mission work in Asia. And not the Asia you're thinking about. We're talking Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey. That's where he wanted to go and begin mission work, okay? But the fact was, the Holy Spirit forbid him. Have you ever wanted to do something that was good and you just felt like you didn't have the green light to go? See, what I'll tell you is the Holy Spirit will shut doors because timing is everything. Okay, it's not that your idea wasn't good, it just might not be the right time. It's not that your idea wasn't even a God-given idea, it just means he gave you the idea to begin being birthed, not begin being walked out right now. Okay, and so anyway, the Holy Spirit forbids him to go there. We don't know whether the Holy Spirit literally gave him a word. We don't know if he had a dream. We don't know if all of a sudden the boat just didn't show up. All we know is it forbid him to go. Okay, and so from there, he goes, okay, well, what doors are open? And so we end up following him, and he proceeds to Troas and then to Macedonia, where we see a woman converted to Christianity named Lydia. This is interesting because Lydia would be the very first convert in all of Europe. Interesting, okay. And so this is just some history for you. But still, we're going to pick up the story. So Paul is still in Macedonia, and then he is about to go to Philippi. Ready? Check this out. Once we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. What was she? She was fortune teller. Thank you. But really, she was possessed by the devil, and that's why she knew things, okay? So she earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. See, there's the word I was looking for. It's right there if I just kept reading. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." Wait a minute. A demon was telling the truth? They can do that? Okay, we'll continue. Ready? And then it says, she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. So again, wait a minute. We'll just pause for a minute. A possessed woman was chasing behind these men of God, telling the truth. Does anyone else think that's weird? Like, I just thought that was weird. It's kind of like when you see even Jesus having to tell people to shut up, like the demons speaking up, saying like, this is the Son of God. He's like, shut up. Why? Because it's not the right time, okay? He's got other business to do. Jesus said, shut up. Some people, that's all they get out of this. Listen. So listen, Satan is the father of lies. You go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and he was the one that was deceiving Eve and Adam, right? You know, did God really say? So the Bible tells us that whenever the devil talks, whenever Satan speaks, he's lying. Unless he's not lying, but it's only because of the good that he's looking to do, which is bad. Did I just confuse you? So let me help you here. First of all, what we know is the Bible tells that whenever the devil lies, he speaks in his native tongue, is what the scripture says. So this is what was so interesting to me. When I saw a demon speaking truth, I thought, what is going on here? See, we see in this story that sometimes the devil, even though he's the father of lies, he'll choose to declare an important truth if it can serve his purpose. Did you hear that? We see in this story that sometimes the devil will even use the truth against you if it can help provoke others around you to act against you. So he would rather profess the truth in the moment so that perhaps you be in prison. Are we seeing what's happening here? Okay, so check this out. Let's go back to the scripture before I keep going down a rabbit trail. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas. The magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Wait a minute. I thought they did something good here. You following the story? Possessed woman walking behind them, telling the truth. They cast the demon out of the woman. So now the woman is free, but the owners of the woman aren't going to be able to make money off of her. So they go and create an issue in which they get beaten, flogged, thrown into jail, not just any jail, high security. Are you getting this? And this is what's interesting. That when I think about how these people around Paul and Silas treated them, this is why you can't use the temperature or the climate of people to judge whether you are doing what is right. You must allow God's word and leading to guide and direct and judge your works. Because all these people were judging them as if they did something wrong because they didn't understand it. But yet they were doing something right and yet found themselves in prison. Matthew Henry's concise commentary says, those who do good by drawing men from sin may expect to be reviled as troublers of the city. While they teach men to fear God, to believe in Christ, to forsake sin, and to live godly lives, they will be accused of teaching bad customs. We see this all around the world. In the name of Jesus, on behalf of the kingdom, moving and advancing the kingdom forward, and all hell breaks out against people doing good, and they're actually considered bad. The Bible says in the end times, good will be called evil, and evil will be called good. Look around. We're there. Verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Wait a minute. They were in the prison and they were praying and singing hymns to God. That'll challenge your faith. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. This is a good place to stop for a minute. Just pause for a minute, because we have some things we've got to do. Because I'm teaching you or talking this morning about counting our blessings. But how many know sometimes it can be hard to see the blessing when you're in the dark? Sometimes it can be very hard to count your blessings in a dark season. Sometimes it can be very hard to count your blessings when things aren't going right. And so this is interesting because we see a very dark moment in Paul and Silas's life in this small chapter here, but yet we see them doing something powerful. And so today, I want to help you learn the keys to counting in the dark. If you're taking notes, we're learning keys to counting in the dark. Number one, we must understand the power of perspective. In the natural, we can understand perspective in a simple way, right? Have you ever, anyone ever gone on a vacation and the weather just didn't turn out right? You know, maybe you went camping and it decided the sun didn't shine the whole weekend. You know, maybe you went to some beautiful tropical place and you spent so much money to go and stare at those palm trees because you don't have them here, and you get there and it's nothing but rain. See, perspective is everything, because in the moment, all you're ever going to do is complain about what you're experiencing without ever considering the fact that the reason the palm trees exist is because it rains. The fact is, when no one wants to spend money and go to a vacation and see burnt palm fronds, those palm branches burnt don't look as good. And now it's hard to teach your little kid who all they want to do is go play outside and it's raining and you're trying to, well, you have to understand the water's feeding the palm trees you love so much. They don't understand that. But it's a simple thought of perspective. If this rain never came, these palm trees wouldn't be here and you wouldn't be paying to come here. Perspective, right? And so we've got to find the silver lining in the moment is what I'm trying to get at here. And that was kind of a random analogy, but I like palm trees and I hate when it rains. You know where that one was birthed from, okay? But look it, you can choose to change your perspective. This is important to us, right? Because Paul and Silas may have been beaten and thrown into prison, but they chose not to focus on their present captivity. But instead, what did they focus on? The freedom that was given to the woman who was possessed. Okay? What about the fact that they were thankful that God used them powerfully for his glory? Hello? They counted themselves blessed to be labeled by the demon as servants of the Most High God. They may be in prison, but a demon recognized them. They recognized what team they were on. You know, I think it's important. You know, the Bible talks about us being salt and light, and we should be known to the world. And we shouldn't be known to the world as Christians because we beat people up with the Bible and we soapbox it everywhere. You know what I'm saying? But the fact is, there should be something different about us. You know, I don't want my friends to go, oh, I never knew you were a Christian. That's not a good thing, right? That's something we should consider. But the fact that the demons knew which team they were on, they were counting their blessings. How, anyone ever think of that? The demon knew their God was the Most High God and had to obey them when they spoke against him, when they demanded or commanded him to come out. These are some things that would be worth counting your blessings even when you're in prison. God is still with us, Silas. Can you believe what we just saw, what we experienced? This is just the beginning. Let's just continue to follow God and wherever he leads. I don't care what chains I'm in. Let's just continue to be used by a God that was willing. Come on, count your blessings. And so there was so much to be thankful for in that dark prison cell. If they could harness the power of right perspective. They couldn't put their focus on all the ungodly people walking the streets freely while they had acted for God and are now currently in prison. They couldn't focus on that. This is true in your life today. You must focus on what God is doing for you, not what is happening in someone else's life. Did you hear that? We always want to play the compare game, right? We like playing blame games and we like to compare. But the fact is, we've got to be focused on what God is doing in our lives, not in someone else's. What you see as a blessing in someone else's life may actually be a curse. That's something I've really taken some thought to. Remember when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness? Remember when the devil appeared and he was basically tempting Jesus? He offered him fame. He offered him fortune if he would just bow his knee. Are you getting this? You remember this? So, you never know what it took for some to get what they have. You never know how low they sunk or to whom they bowed to get what they have. You may be calling it a blessing, but in fact, it might be chains. Remember the devil went down to Georgia? Listen, you never know what somebody sold to get what they have. Something to consider. You never know how much of the Lord's tithe, how much of the offering they use to get what they have. You got to keep the right perspective. You know what, God? I'm blessed to have what I have, but I'm blessed to stand in a blessable place by you. I continue to be obedient to you, and even though my desire is to just go and do these things, I will not rob you. Even though my desire is to have what they have, I will choose to stay blessed and be in a position knowing that I am doing what you've called me to do. Are you getting this? So to count my blessings, I have to stop looking at theirs. This is powerful. To count my blessings, I have to stop looking at theirs. You ready for number two? A key to counting in the dark. Number two, remember all the benefits. Remember all the benefits. King David, he ended up writing this in the Psalm. It says, praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. Look, we've got to remind ourselves that our God is good, that he's for us, and we need to not forget what he's already done. I've heard many preachers through the years say this, and I've said it myself. Look, if God chose to not do one more thing for me the rest of my life, I still owe him my life, and I still should be singing from the rooftops for all that he's already done. There's two people that are excited about all that Jesus has done. I'm noticing this is a trend with my 9:45 crowd here. Are you guys awake? Look, we've got to be engaged. We've got to be connected. We've got to get this download. I believe God wants you to hear this, but you know what? Let's have a little bit more response. I've been told you get what you give, right? And so if you want a better word, come on, you got to give me a mask wave. You're not allowed to take your mask off anymore. No. So hanky wave. You just got to encourage me in the Lord. Have you ever noticed in both the good times and in the bad times, it's easy to forget your blessings? So what times do you remember? Why is it that when things are really good, you forget to thank God for it? Why is it that when things are really bad, all you want to do is blame God for it? We've got to remind ourselves that we are blessed people, that we have declarations to declare over our lives, promises from the Word of God, and we should be thanking him for even what we don't see. Hey, my faith says that God is going to get me through this, so I'm going to thank him for what I don't see yet. That's what faith is. I'm going to continue to praise him because he's my only answer anyway. It's so important to remind yourself in both the valley and on the mountaintop that God is good and that you are blessed. You hear that? So while Paul and Silas were shackled in high security prison and beaten profusely, they chose to remember their blessings. It says in verse 24, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. You never know who's listening. You know, in all of our muttering, we never know what our child is hearing. You never know who's listening. And the fact is, people are more interested in how you take your hard times than they are your good times. You know, if you're somebody that's professing Christ, if you're somebody that's encouraging somebody, if you're somebody that's trying to get them to come to church and get to know Jesus that you know, don't act like the devil when things go wrong, because they're watching. Right? And so it goes on. Oftentimes we can find ourselves saying, I will be so thankful when you give me that raise, rather than I will be thankful now that I have a job. I will be so thankful when you give me that job, rather than I will be thankful I have the health to work, so I will continue to apply with thanksgiving. We're always saying, God, I will thank you when. God wants you to thank him now. What I love about Paul and Silas is they didn't say, God, I'll praise you if or when you get me out of here. Because after all, it's your fault why we're in here. You getting this? We need to remember all the benefits now, not just later. We need to remember all the things God has done for us now, not just later. It's always a good time to count your blessings. It is always a good time to count your blessings. Many powerful letters, including the letter from Paul to the Philippians, were penned in dark times. He could have written the letter to the Philippians in this very prison. Take a look at his focus and his perspective and his encouragement to the church that came out of these dark cells. When you're reading through the New Testament, you're reading times where the Paul often is in jail and he's encouraging somebody in the Lord. He's encouraging the fact that he's still alive. He's encouraging somebody. It says in Philippians 1, 12 through 14, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." He's saying, even in prison, I have so much to be thankful for. Even in my dark time, even in the dark cell, I have so much to focus on that isn't woe is me, that isn't pulling out the wine and the cheese. World's tiniest violin. He's saying, I have something to be thankful for, and I'm going to spend my time in prison encouraging you. Come on. We need to count our blessings in the dark times too. Next time you're in a dark place, look at how you can use your moment to encourage others towards Christ. Listen to me, it may be the very thing that makes the walls come down around you. I love this story. Number three, a key to counting in the dark, confess your blessings one by one. This is powerful. Don't just remember them, confess them one by one. We know it says here in Acts 16:25 that Paul and Silas were praying. They were speaking, not just thinking. They were speaking aloud. They were praying. That's why the guards could hear them. Okay? I remember reading this story when I was younger thinking, what on earth could they be praying about? I thought they must have been praying things that I would have prayed. I thought, maybe they're praying, God, take the pain away and let the blood clot so I don't bleed out. Maybe they were praying, God, take us now to free us from the pain. Maybe they were praying, help us get out of this mess. After all, we're in it because of you. Come on, don't act like an angel. Those are the prayers we normally pray in dark cells, in dark times, right? That's what would seem natural from what their flesh may have been screaming at the moment. But when I finally finish reading that verse and it says they weren't just praying, they were also singing hymns to God. I thought, oh, no, it can't be that. You know, they weren't singing an Eeyore song in there. They weren't singing, nobody knows the troubles I see. They weren't. If they were singing hymns, then they were stirring their spirits. Not simply complaining. Look, if they were singing hymns, then while they were raising their voices, they were lifting their spirits. Sometimes you need to lift your spirits. And whose responsibility is it to lift your spirit? Me. To lift my spirit and you to lift your spirit. God, that's why David, he tells himself time and time again, I will bless the Lord, O my soul. Doesn't mean he felt like it. He was saying, I'm going to praise the Lord regardless how I feel. I don't need somebody on stage saying, come on, lift up your hands. I'm going to just lift up my hands. I'm going to go there. I'm going to worship God, even if I had a really bad day. Even if something didn't work. Even if my poodle died. God is good. I'm going to lift my spirit up. And sometimes I got to pray myself into that mode. And sometimes I got to sing myself into that mode. Sometimes I got to do both because I'm in prison. Maybe not literally, figuratively. I'm going to lift my spirits and I'm going to count my blessings. Oh, if they were singing hymns, then while they were raising their voices, they were lifting their spirits. Look at that would mean they were in fact thanking God, not complaining to God. That means they were thanking him. They were not only, what were they thanking him for? I started to kind of make a list. Maybe the fact that they had only been beaten and not killed. That's a good start. I'm still alive. I'm not dead yet. Listen, the fact that they were sheltered inside for the night. Hey, I got a roof over my head. I'm in a strange place and I got a roof over my head. I can thank God for that. The fact that no one could reach out and hurt them further while they were in the prison. That was worth thanking God for, hey? The fact that, that they could still walk themselves into the cell is what's interesting. You say, how do you know that? Because they walked themselves out. So this is interesting. Look at, you know, maybe it was they were thanking God that he still heard their voice, that even if death came, he would remember them and they would be with him. They had many things to think about if they just had the right perspective. If they got themselves out of the heat of the moment, if they got themselves out of that emotional moment, that feel bad feeling, that woe is me, this isn't fair, God. Come on. Someone might be saying, Pastor Chad, that seems like a stretch. How can you gather all of that to be their way of thinking? And I take it actually from Paul's own words in the letters to the Philippians. He says this in verse 20 of chapter 1. He says, I eagerly expect that and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me is to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. Look at, he's basically saying, whether I live or whether I die, I'm going to do it to bless the Lord. I'm going to do it. I'm going to have the right perspective. I'm going to know that my time on earth wasn't about me anyway. Are you getting this? And so we all need to make it a habit to think upon our blessings. You know, we sang all the blessings. We talk about, Lord, bless us and keep us and let your face shine upon us. We're singing these words, but we've got to remind ourselves that these were words that he already said to us. We're just declaring his words over us. Someone would say, how dare you say that for yourself? I'd say, no, he already said it for me. I'm just telling myself to believe it. I'm just saying, let it be so. Amen, Lord. Amen to your words. Okay. One by one, allow your gratitude to build and the compounding effect to bless your Lord in heaven, the giver of every gift. We need to remind ourselves, you know, the Bible tells us every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of light. Every good thing in your life. Come on. All right. Philippians goes on to say, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. This is the same Paul writing all these letters from prison. How do you think he got to a place writing these letters? Hello? Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. We got to continue one by one, reminding ourselves how good God is to us, how worthy he is and what he's already done for us. Come on. We got to continue to count our blessings. Number four, a key to counting in the dark, whatever you magnify will multiply. See, how you see things will translate into how you speak of things. How you see things will translate into how you speak of things. So since we know there's power in the tongue, again, you remember Proverbs 18:21, the power of the tongue is life and death. There is power in the tongue. And because there's power in our tongue, we understand that our words come out of the abundance of our heart. It tells us in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why whenever you hear someone continually say things and they keep jesting, oh, it's just a joke, it's just a joke, it's just a joke, there's root there. There's truth there because it came out of the abundance of the hearts. Maybe not one silly joke, but if it keeps arising, I'm telling you, there's a root there. And what is in your heart comes from how you process the world around you. There's power in your perspective. Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God in the middle of a prison, in the middle of a high security prison. After being beaten and flogged, they found this understanding of what I magnify will multiply. If I'm going to magnify my sorrow, I'm going to get more sorrow. If I'm going to focus on my pain, I'm going to get more pain. But if I'm going to focus on my healer and my provider, my redeemer, if I'm going to focus on him, then I'm going to get more of him in this situation. We have the power to determine what is invited into our worlds. Maybe it shows up. Maybe we didn't invite everything. But wherever you are right now, whatever's in your world right now, you can take control of that and choose to say, God, I need you here. I need you now. And I know you're good. And I know that you're going to turn this around for me. Maybe I created some of this problem, but I'm going to do what I can to fix it. And know you're going to do what I can't. I'm going to invite God. I'm going to magnify him in my life daily so I can multiply the effects of him in my life daily. Are you getting this? So if they were singing hymns and they were raising their spirits while they were raising their voice, we know that. When we find ourselves thanking God for what he's already done for us, often we see him move to bless us further. What you magnify, you get more of. Look at, don't magnify your troubles, your emotions, and feelings. Instead, magnify your God and watch him move on your behalf. So when I think about this moment in Paul and Silas's life, it makes me think, what if they were complaining instead of worshiping? What if they found themselves counting their wounds and their enemies rather than their blessings? I oftentimes think, in the times of my life where I spent too much time counting my wounds and my enemies, how could it have changed if I was counting my blessings and thanking my God? Because what I magnify will multiply. Let this be a strong word to pessimists. Change your habits. You get more of what you magnify. If you're always looking down through life with a heart full of complaints, you will constantly miss the blessings coming down from the Heavenly Father. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. So let me just finish this story, because I'm out of time. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Look, when things start shaking, don't just assume it's a bad thing. When you start to feel unsteady, when you start to feel like things aren't working, when you start to feel things shake around you, perhaps it's the very thing you've been praying for. Perhaps God is trying to move in your world, but he's got to shake some things up. Maybe you've built such obstacles in your world by your words. Maybe you've built such obstacles in your world by your decisions and your choices, and he's got to do some shaking to bring down those walls. We've got to be aware that God is trying to work on the good, trying to do good on behalf of those that know him and love him. So we end up seeing later on in this chapter that Paul and Silas led the jailer. Once all the walls came down and the doors flew open, the jailer was about to take his own life because he realized they're going to kill me anyway. Paul and Silas stop him from doing so and end up leading him to Jesus in that very moment. This is amazing. And then they stay in prison. Even though the walls came down, they don't just go walking out and go free. They stay in prison. They see people come to know Jesus. And it's the very next morning that actually, as all this happens, they end up getting freed and released anyway. But they chose not even to run when it would be easy. They still said, God, what would you have me do? If I run, this man dies. They continued to put their trust in God. It's amazing to see what God will do when you have the right perspective. Even in your dark moments, when you count your blessings, when you choose to magnify the right things and watch them multiply, it's amazing to see what God will do when we're in the right mind. God, I thank you. I thank you so much for what you've done. We gotta be thanking God. Look, we gotta learn to count our blessings, learn to confess our blessings. Learn to worship in your prison seasons and make it a habit to look to heaven more than you do to your personal wounds, and you will see God do amazing things in and through you. Do you receive the word this morning?
We hope you've enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church.